Happy Cinco de Mayo. Canelo Alvarez fights Billy Joe Saunders on Saturday. And I despise Billy Joe Saunders. And this may be a surprise to you. I love Canelo Alvarez.
What?
Saul. You look at that tweet I sent you of the verbal altercation that
took
place?
Fantastic.
I did.
Yeah. Good idea to make Canelo mad.
Right. That'll work usually out for you. Don't get a reaction out of that guy.
That'll work out well.
They got one.
Now you're getting to see why I can't stand Billy Joe Saunders. Whatever. Someone I can stand, I like him very much, is Matt Derrick. Now listen here. Matt Derrick was attacking Twitter yesterday with some news of a new gig, along with, and our next guest is part of the crew too, with Nick Leckie. Did you know that, Jake? He's part of this whole exciting venture. And I'm not talking about the venture that I used to go to on State Avenue with my mom.
Or the one on 95th and Metcalf?
Right. Any of them. Tremendous value.
I bought a cordless telephone from Venture 1 year.
Yeah, see? I bet you it was a reasonable price.
Yeah, Sony.
We invite Matt Derrick to the show. At Matt Derrick is the handle. Matt, what's new in your world? What's new in your professional life? Won't you tell us?
Yeah, I am very happy and excited to be joining the team at KC Sports Network. We just announced yesterday, and starting on July 1st is when we really get it going. I mean, between now and then, there's going to be a lot of free content that we'll be putting out there. You'll get daily emails from us. We're going to have stories, podcasts, you name it. And we got an incredible group of people. Yeah, you mentioned Nick Leckie. We got some former Chiefs and Josh Allen and Mike DeVito who are going to be involved in this. BJ Kissel is the creator of this vision. Used to be
Kissel
with the Chiefs. So it's an incredible group of people.
How did you get Nick Leckie involved? That's a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah,
you know.
that's a big right. Get.
I think BJ was like, who is the biggest get that we can start with? And Leckie was at the top of his list, man. I don't think there was any doubt about that.
So what are you going to do? Give us an idea. Can you tell us?
A lot of what I've been doing right now. So you're going to get a lot of what you've been seeing at Chiefs Digest. And we're going to be expanding into some new areas as well. And I've also going to be fortunate enough to be kind of the editorial director for this crazy group. So maybe you like herding cats at times, but I'm looking forward to it because we're trying to do some creative things, and hopefully Chiefs fans will enjoy it.
Will you still come on the show?
Absolutely. That will still be my number one priority, talking to you guys.
Will you have more demands now?
It seems like always everyone has more demands.
Right.
But you know what? I am easygoing.
Well, I mean, we'll try to meet him.
All I need is Jake's smiling face on the phone.
Wow. Well, you ain't going to get that. that's all you need. You're going to be needing more because that this is a rare. He's usually very angry when he's on the phone with people. So
I might need some magic spoon because I had a very unhealthy breakfast.
Wow.
I can get you some, buddy.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. You got to be careful, though, because Nate was known back when he was in college for the magic spoon, and it ain't the same thing as you're talking about.
I don't even know what it is.
It might make you feel better, but
I don't know.
It's
adult cereal, Nate. It's healthy cereal. It doesn't taste
spoon?
Like the box
yeah,
that came
he's a,
in.
He's the pitch man for this. Haven't you heard? Mm-hmm. This guy's ranked, I looked at the rankings. He's ranked the number 3 pitch man right now in the Midwest.
Hey. I'm surprised he's only number 3.
Well, just because it expands. Yeah. Like, there's a guy in Iowa.
Magic Spoon. Okay.
One guy down in...
Check it out. MagicSpoon.com/JakeNate.
Let's talk about something...
Promo code?
...that I find
Jake.
This to be very...
$5 off on checkout.
This was very interesting. Boy, aren't you glad you brought that up, Matt.
Yeah.
So for a number of reasons, this is an interesting story. So Broncos offensive tackle Juwan James is expected to miss the entire 2021 NFL season after suffering a torn Achilles yesterday. He experienced the injury while working out on his own away from the team facility, according to Adam Schefter. And so the fact that he got hurt on his own and not at the voluntary team workouts that many players are choosing not to attend this offseason means the Broncos are not obligated to pay his $10 million salary for 2021. And this Boy, that was an interesting debate. Mitchell Schwartz, if you want to go read and some interesting comments, go read what Mitchell Schwartz had to say. Patrick Mahomes retweeted and was you know, basically questioning, are they going to take his contract away? You know, defending Juwan James. And so a lot of people share their opinion. Hey, for the Broncos, sure, you don't have to pay this guy. But what is the locker room's reaction going to be if you don't pay this guy? And what's the fallout? Either way, really interesting topic. A lot of NFL players, former and current NFL players, were part of. Matt Derrick, your thoughts on this, because I think this is going to be continue to be a pretty big story depending on what the Denver Broncos do now.
Yeah, I mean, I see both sides of it. I mean, there's part of it which is certainly the business side. And honestly, that's what everybody points to. I mean, the players, the owners, everybody always tells us, hey, it's a business. So you can't necessarily blame the team if they're going to take the business line and say, yeah, you know what, the guy was working on his own, we're not going to pay him. And it's further complicated by the fact that since the players in the NFLPA are encouraging players not to take part in voluntary workouts with the clubs, that they're all going to work out on their own. So if that's going to be the case, I mean, I certainly see why the team is, you know, and the league may want to have a hard line on this. But on the other side of it, you're absolutely right, too. I mean, it's going to send a really, really tough message that may not go over well with the players if you hold the letter of the rules and the law here and say, you know what, we're not going to pay him because since he was working out on his own. This is probably, to me, the issue that is going to be at the forefront of this whole battle between the league and the NFLPA over these voluntary workouts. To a degree, it's a little bit odd to me because the NFLPA had a chance to negotiate this 13 months ago when they approved the new CBA for the next decade. And now it's 13 months later, and they're saying, you know what, we don't need these OTAs anymore. We don't need the off-season program. We can do it all virtually. You know, I don't know if that's true. And, you know, and the NFLPA is saying it didn't affect the product on the field. Well, you know what? Andy Reid will tell you that it absolutely affected the product on the field last year, that they didn't have OTAs and they didn't have workouts. So this is going to be a big one, and this injury is going to make this conflict even bigger about what these off-season programs need to be. I don't know how it's going to come down, and I think it's tough either way. I mean, it's you know, to a degree, it's the business, but at the same time, you hate to see a guy that seemingly is trying to do the right thing to stay in shape for his team and gets hurt and can't play and lose his contract.
So here's some of the debate, and these are some interesting comments I thought from Mitchell Schwartz. Mitchell Schwartz saw the story and retweeted it and commented, and he's obviously being a smartass here, and then people got mad at his tweet. He said, at least he got to be home these few weeks. That freedom will make up for the $10 million the team doesn't have to pay him now. And so then someone tweeted at him and said, are players not allowed to practice in the team facility yet? Ignorant question here. And he said, they are. The PA is getting a lot of players to exercise the voluntary part of the process and stay at home. A major downside is it shifts 100% of the injury liability to the player, not the team. And this is what can happen as a result. And then someone asked him, do you at least feel a little bit sorry for him? And he said, of course I feel sorry for him. What I want is for him to still make his money, which is what would have happened if he worked out at the team facility like in any other year. But the PA got him to stay at home, and now he's not entitled to his previously full guaranteed salary. And then Chris Conley, former Chiefs wide receiver, got in on the action and said, half these replies don't understand a player's offseason obligations. Many don't understand that you're expected to work out when away from the facility. He wasn't going against his contract. And Mitchell Schwartz said, doesn't change the fact that the contracts we signed contain language stating that if we get hurt outside the facility, they can void our deal. Always been this way. It's a very real possibility and a major downside to skipping OTAs, and that risk should be well known to players. What do you think about what Mitchell Schwartz had to say?
Yeah, and that's at the heart of one of the reasons why I do have a beef with the NFLPA's stance on this, is that, you know, they are claiming that they're advocating on behalf of the players, but honestly, I mean, for the rank and file players, I don't think that skipping these voluntary workouts are the best. I mean, because one, as we just pointed out, if you get hurt working out on your own, there's a really good chance you're going to lose your contract because the team does not have to pay you if you get hurt working away from the facility. and players take that risk at other times too, because let's face it, you know, players can't just walk away from the weight rooms and exercise programs between the end of their season and the middle of April. I mean, they've got to work out on their own anyway. So they're always taking that risk to a degree. But, you know, telling the players to work out on their own and stay away from the facilities, they're putting themselves at this risk. And on top of that, you know, the other day they're telling the rookies now that, hey, these mini camps, these workouts are voluntary. You don't need to show up for them. Well, you know, that's not being there at this time of year really hurts young players. And you don't have to look any further than some of the Chiefs rookies last year. Willie Gay, the Chiefs will tell you flat out that if he had had an offseason program where they could get the OTAs in, he could have gotten on the field, gotten work in the pass game, seen some of the things that he needed to see, that he could have played more last year, that he could have played in more passing situations, but didn't because they didn't have the time to work with him and develop him. And if you're a Chiefs fan, I mean, you really hope that Nick Bolton can get on the field here in the next few weeks, because you don't want him to miss that development time this year.
Nate Bucati.
Yeah, I mean, this seems like this could lead to a pretty big fight. And I think that it seems like they ought to have some sort of situation where the players are free to work out without, you know, risking their entire paycheck, because they are doing so to benefit the team. And like you said, Matt, it's not like, okay, if you come to all the OTAs, then you don't have to work out any the rest of the year, right? Like, that's not realistic, is it? I mean, if these guys,
it's not like he was skiing or doing something, like, you know, what we know, he was working out on his own.
I guess I can understand the team's perspective being, well, we're not supervising those workouts. We don't know. You hire some trainer that's a quack and puts you through some things that he shouldn't be putting you through and injures you. We shouldn't be liable for that. But at the same time, like, is it a realistic expectation to say you need to live in the off season in the town where your team is? Because a lot of guys probably live in other places, right? Like when it's the off season. No, you got to stay in Kansas City, and the only time you can ever work out is at the facility. That doesn't seem like a realistic expectation if you want your players to maximize their ability.
And who's, because if you have it, and maybe he's the most now, but you would have to say Tom Brady's one of them. But who's, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is one of the most influential players in the NFL.
Yep.
And when he says something, people take notice. He retweeted it and said, so they're going to take his contract for working out in the offseason? Triple question mark?
And he was retweeting other guys like Tyreek Hill saying, so we're supposed to just not work out now?
That's a can of worms, isn't it, Matt?
It's huge. And, you know, and once again, I mean, some of it goes back, and the reason why some of these things are obviously in the contract as part of the CBA is that, you know, you don't want to have to pay players if they're hurt doing things that you don't want them to do, or they're hurt doing things the wrong way. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they want these players in their facilities working out, because they want to make sure that they've got trained people working with them, trained athletic trainers that will make sure that they're doing things the right way, the strength and conditioning coaches, you know, they're being taken care of, they're doing their rehabs correctly, they're resting, they're doing whatever they need to do. And, you know, hey, if you're working out on your own, I mean, we all know, I mean, sometimes you don't use proper technique. Sometimes, you know, you do need somebody to be there making sure that you're doing things the right way. And you know what? We love to see the videos on Twitter and TikTok, anywhere else you want to see them. But I tell you, people in NFL front offices and training staffs absolutely cringe when they see some of the things that players do in workouts on their own, because they're things that are not necessarily using proper technique. They are sometimes risky, sometimes dangerous. You know, some of the CrossFit things that you might see absolutely terrify them that they see their players do.
Well, one of the things I remember in Major League Baseball, that I was always told that teams have insurance policies on situations like this too, that if a player gets a significant injury, that the insurance policy can kick in and pay the salary. Do you know, have any idea if that's the case with these NFL teams as well?
Generally not, because NFL contracts are not guaranteed. So, you know, that's why, you know, if a player gets hurt, especially on their own, the team doesn't need insurance because they can just simply walk away. I mean, the risk is really more on the player. You know, whereas baseball, they have guaranteed contracts. So, yeah, at that point, the financial risk is totally on the team. But in the NFL, yeah, I mean, this is exactly that case. It's the team can absolutely walk away from James without owing him another dime.
That is, I mean, man, the NFLPA compared to the Major League Baseball Players Association, it's just not even close, is it? I mean, the NFL owners have it so much better. They don't have to commit hardly anything.
Yeah, and that's why I say that, you know, I fault the NFLPA on this, because if they truly felt that off-season workouts and the OTAs were such a problem and such a risk, they had a negotiation window 13 months ago, and they signed off on the deal, and they didn't really change a thing. I mean, there was a few requirements that dropped down, but by and large, the off-season program remained exactly the same. A few minor changes, but they agreed to it. So, you know, to me, if you're, it's a little odd crying foul now that you want to get rid of these off-season workouts and do things differently when you could have done something about this 13 months ago. But, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is the NFL players have greater risk than almost players in any other sport as far as how much that they risk with just, you know, lifting weights, that at any moment something pops, and if you're not in the team facility, you slip on the ice, your contract, you are done. I mean, they're not going to, NFL owners are not going to go out of their way to take care of you if they don't have to. It's a business.
Matt Derrick is our guest. Matt, let's talk about who the Chiefs drafted. Do you remember when the Chiefs drafted Nick Bolton and I screamed?
That was a pretty good moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. What was your reaction?
I was obviously pretty pleased. I mean, I loved watching Nick at Mizzou. He was a great player, but I think he was a perfect fit. And I this is the guy all along. I mean, we talked about it last week. He was on our short list of players that they absolutely should be interested in, and I thought were interested in. I think it's going to be I think it's going to work out great. I mean, I think that Bolton is, he has some deficits, absolutely. I don't think there's anything that can't be fixed, but he has things that you can't teach, which, you know, he's instinctive. He's got a high football IQ just built in, and he's aggressive and tough. I mean, you know, Chiefs fans have complained about having linebackers in recent years that maybe don't get the tackles. Nick Bolton hit something, it's going down.
Matt Derrick.
Settle down over there, buddy.
Matt Derrick. What about Creed Humphrey?
Yeah, I was blown away that Humphrey was still there. I figured at 58, what was going through my mind is that Humphrey was a possibility. I figured Bolton and Terrace Marshall were the other two. And it would have been interesting if Marshall doesn't go the pick right after Bolton, you know, what the Chiefs do at 63. But when the consensus number one center in the draft at a position of need for the Chiefs long term is sitting there, I don't see how you can't jump on it. And obviously, I mean, he's been playing at a high level, has got a great frame, really fits in with what looks like the Chiefs' new mentality, which is that they want an offensive line that's going to brawl. It's going to maul.
Yeah.
And he's got that. I mean, he's wide, he's big, but still can move around. So I he should be a perfect fit for what the Chiefs want to do offensively in both the run and the pass game.
Now, this is a reasonable question, because I've had people answer every one of these guys except for one, and we'll see if you're any different. Okay, so we take away Bolton and Humphrey. Between Joshua Kando, Noah Gray, Cornell Powell, and Trey Smith, what draft pick has you most excited out of those four?
I don't think there's any doubt the highest upside is Trey Smith. I mean, if this guy has never had the blood clot problem, he might have been a second-round pick. I mean, you know, I know one of the highest places I saw him generally was maybe third. And, you know, and probably a lot of teams didn't even have him on their board because they were scared of the medical issue. If you're discounting the medical issue, I would imagine that a lot of teams probably would have had him in the second or third round. So to get him in the sixth, and what looks like and sounds like, at least from the Chiefs' perspective, and seeing him on the field the last 2 years, is a guy that isn't going to have these problems, and maybe it's behind him, maybe it's under control. If that's the case, Trey Smith has got the kind of talent that he could be a mainstay in his offensive line for next 8 to 10 years. I mean, it's true Pro Bowl talent there.
Who will be a more productive pass catcher in their Chiefs career, Noah Gray or Cornell Powell?
Really good question. I would probably say Cornell Powell. I've got some questions. I mean, because he was a late bloomer, he's a little bit older at this point because he was at Clemson for a long time. I mean, he had the redshirt year. So I think he was there for 5 years.
Yes.
And it wasn't until the senior year that he exploded. And there will be people who tell you that, hey, there was a light finally kicked in. You know, I asked Powell about that on Saturday, and he said, you know, he's always been that guy. He's always been working. That it was just that Clemson had a lot of great receivers that he played with, and maybe there was just always somebody better that was keeping him down. But if that's the case, if he has clicked in, then I think there's some real potential there. And I'll admit, I mean, it's more that I'm high on Powell and I'm a little down on Gray and a little bit skeptical. Between the two of them, I think Powell's got the better chance. And I think he can do some things right now that maybe the Chiefs don't have a receiver that does that well. I mean, as a post-up receiver and somebody who can get a little physical, I think he can really fit in with the Chiefs' speed.
So the guy we haven't talked about is Josh Kando. And so I think it's interesting that, like, when we talk about Nick Bolton, you hear, well, he's undersized, and that held him back. But then when you look at the production and you look at him, tape don't lie, and you watch him, well, that's a hell of a linebacker. And you see why the Chiefs wanted him, but he had to overcome his lack of size that some teams didn't like. And so we've seen that with many players come out of college. They don't have the measurables. Maybe they didn't have a great pro day or a combine, didn't test well. But when they're on the football field, when they're wearing pads, they're extremely productive, and teams will focus on that. I feel like Josh Kando is like the exact opposite. Like, the production's not there. Like, where are the numbers? A recruit of that magnitude going to Florida State, why didn't he produce more? But then he has all the tools you're looking for. The length, the strength, the speed. He tests off the charts, but the production's not there. So they're betting on Bolton, that he's just a football player, and he's going to come in here and be a great leader on and off the field and do all the things necessary to make you successful. And with Kane, though, even though we've heard he's extremely intelligent, he's going to be a great locker room guy, he's going to be able to pick up the defense, the production just wasn't there at Florida State. So what did you think about that pick in the fourth round?
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, they are absolutely completely opposite situations. Whereas Bolton is, yeah, not as athletic, but is pure instinct and just football IQ off the charts. Kando is all tools. I mean, he is super athletically freaky, especially for that defensive end position, but just has never done it. It's never seemed to click. And this is a guy, he was a five-star coming out of high school. I mean, he was considered to be right up there with Chase Young coming in as a, you know, that their freshman class. You know, he was in that category and just never produced. But the skills are there. I mean, he's a raw lump of clay. So, yeah, what the Chiefs are hoping is that a different situation, different coaching, that Brendan Daly can tap into what's there, because you're not going to find a better athletic specimen for that edge position than Josh Kando. But it's just a matter of, can you convert that athleticism into actual football production? And, hey, if anybody in the league can do it, I mean, Brendan Daly's probably one of the few guys who can. He also, as Brett Veach said, I mean, you look at the length and the athleticism and everything, and he's absolutely a model for a Steve Spagnuolo defensive end. So this should be the perfect scheme, the perfect fit for him. If anybody, I think, can get anything out of it, the Chiefs are probably one of the best situations in the league for him. So, I mean, there's a chance. But you're right. I mean, this is a boomer bust kind of guy. I mean, he could be here for 6 years, and he could be out in one. You just never know.
You know, they call Jake a big, raw lump of clay when I got my hands on him. Now, look, you like what I've molded him into?
I do like what you've molded him into.
A lot of people do. Some people don't, I'll be honest. But
it's like the sculpture, David.
Right.
I was thinking more like Lionel Richie and Hello.
Right. Mm. That's exactly right. But when you look at him, as Jake just suggested, are you reminded of the sculpture of David? That's what he thinks.
You know, I probably more so than the sculpture of Tano Passanio.
Right.
Well, David.
Right. Finally, what move is left for the Chiefs. We're wondering if the Melvin Ingram could be signed. Nate does not want it, but Jake would welcome Justin Houston back to this town. I'm just kidding. He doesn't want him either. Nate wants him. Jake doesn't
I'll take either one of those guys.
You'll take
Ingram, no Justin.
You won't take Justin Houston at all.
I mean,
I'd rather have Ingram.
It's nice depth, whatever. I don't want it.
Jake is also asking Brett Veach to call Atlanta about Julio Jones.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you?
And then we all want Bashaud Breeland to come back to see if he'll drop a new CD in time for the season. And so what do you think is going to happen as far as any veterans that are out there? Anything you think that will happen?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little bit of wait and see at this point. I mean, Ingram, I think, would make more sense than Houston for the Chiefs, but it's just a matter of those contract demands. If they're going to come down, and it's going to get, I think, get to a little bit more affordable price, I would expect the Chiefs probably looking at corner and receiver, too, is just bringing in maybe some veteran depth for competition. I think the Chiefs feel like they're decent at both those spots, but especially at corner, I mean, if you look at what they've got going in the camp, I even with the two free, you know, undrafted guys that they're bringing in, I think they would like just a little bit more numbers and more competition there.
Richard Sherman could come here now that Sammy Watkins is gone. Didn't have to be scared off by that like he was, because he seemed like didn't want to get close to him in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. No? All right.
Kansas City's pretty far from Baltimore, but
right.
But we'd probably have to see him sometime this year.
And by the way, Jake, I don't know if you saw this, your guy, Alejandro Villanueva, ended up signing 2 years, $14 million with the Ravens. Would you have liked that if that's how much they would have had to pay for him?
I mean, it's the 2 years. I mean, I don't think that's that outrageous.
But did that surprise you, Matt? Did you think that's what he was going to get?
That's probably about what he was going to get. I mean, the talk was that he was looking for probably closer to 10. So getting 7 a year, I think, is probably a reasonable conclusion. But
at that point, he should be happy with it because the suitors were dropping. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the Chiefs, if given the choice between Orlando Brown and Villanueva, 2 for $14, I still think they choose Orlando Brown.
That's right, and so do I. Tell us all about your new venture, please, Matt Derrick, before we let you go.
Yeah, you can check it all out and find everything what we're going to be doing at KCSportsNetwork.com. You can see all the contributors. I got a couple of things that will be going up today. One is going to be just a little bit more about me, in case you don't know that much about my background and history and growing up a Chiefs fan. And also going to have a take a look at the Chiefs roster at how it stands right now after the draft. So hopefully everybody will be able to enjoy everything that we're doing, and I hope everybody has fun.
And I'm certainly not going to tell you your business, but if you're looking to do some like Vegas picks, or if you want to have like a somewhat knowledgeable fantasy football guy, Jake Pounders. So he's available. All right?
I like the way you think.
Yeah. You're the only one. Thanks, Matt.
Someone does.
Thanks, guys. Right. Take care.
Do you have a problem with me offering your services?
No. Like that?
Clearly, I want you to be compensated. But
sure.
But I described you as a good from Vegas picks, but I said a somewhat knowledgeable fan. Did that offend you somewhat?
Not at all. No, I offer.
What's
my
your stronger? But what's your stronger, the stronger part of your game, fantasy football, or these Vegas locks that you give out on the show?
Probably fantasy football. Yeah.
Pepper based eye drop advice.
What?
They're not peppers. No. It's a Amazonial root.
What do you want people to put in their eyes?
Amazon root based eye drops.
Sananga. What?
Do you think you could run that out to the stadium for Angel Hernandez tonight? So I mean, you want to offer that to people. We got a guy that needs it because of the damn pixels out there in the outfield.
I got an order coming
around
in this weekend. I just ran out.
There you go.
I ran out. I got a guy in California who puts it together.
No, I'm glad that you got a guy in California putting that together. I was hoping it wasn't a guy like in Raytown putting it together.
No, not that.
All right, good.
California.
That's taken care of. Back after this on WHB.